Okay. Hello, welcome to another episode. Today we are with...
My name is Max Cookward. Happy to be here.
From a long journey, but yes. Arrived nonetheless. Yes. So, this week you've been in Lanzarote. Do you want to give a vague what you were doing, what it was?
So, about a couple of months ago, I started I was thinking a lot about myself and like my childhood, and I was thinking about creating a project that sort of responds to my child self and those dreams that I had. And just giving a bit more like attention to that part of me. So yeah, I started speaking with a friend who we were on a job together, and we were like, we should just go out and shoot something. And yeah, it just kind of snowballed into this abstract movement project. Relating to this idea of all the multiple selves and this sort of coming of age story. And yeah, so I was out in Lanzarote this week. It was honestly so dreamy, so stressful, barely slept. I was doing a million things, but it was deeply, deeply like special. And I'm very grateful that I got to experience it.
Even watching your stories, it looked so cool. Yeah. I was kind of stalking, I'll be honest.
Yeah. It was a fab week. I felt the whole time that I was like, I'm about to wake up, like this isn't real. So beyond grateful. Yeah, but I haven't slept, so this podcast will have a sleepy tone.
Yeah, that's right, relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me move this closer. I wonder if you can hear me. What was I going to say? Okay, so, and it's a shoot for a film you're producing. Is it dance?
So it's like we're going to release it in three parts. So it's going to be like three short films. It's kind of a movement film, but it's not the dancers. They're not, I'm calling them more muses because they each sort of reflect a part of me and my journey. And I gave a lot of like control to them in terms of movement. And it's more about like physical expression and emotion rather than like choreography or anything.
Amazing. And where are you releasing them?
No idea yet.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I have an amazing mentor who's been guiding me a lot on the project.
That's so nice.
So she's gonna probably help guide me with where it's best to release them.
Exciting though. Did you get funding to do that, or did you guys just like...
We got some funding and also got a credit card, and you know, just like fuck it, kind
literally
of
my life.
Yeah,
pay it back one day.
Yeah, money comes and goes, and it feels like the financial risk was worth the reward.
Yeah,
and yeah, so I got some funding, and we also worked with a brand. So while we were out there, I was shooting content for Rombo, which are like a vegan shoe brand, so that also helped bring a bit of money into the project.
Cool.
So yeah, there was a bit of like a business savviness going on around it to try and make it all work. So yeah, we shot three films and the content for them, so it was a very productive week.
Productive but tiring.
Tiring, but I think when you're doing something that's like passionate and personal, that tiredness never gets to a point of giving up. It's there's always like a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment with it. Yeah, so I'm tired, but like...
Especially when you're in such a beautiful place. Who's ever been sad in Lanzarote?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the sun was out. It was, it's such a special...
Must be nice coming back to grey London.
You know, I was a bit like... I was kind of ready to come back. Not because London is beautiful, but because I'd fully exhausted myself.
And the
thought of getting into my bed and like not having to like manage a whole team of people and it's the right time to be back here, ready to rest.
And so you've obviously done this project with lots of collaborators, it looked like, or lots of muses and other people, and then we were talking a bit, how did you get to this point?
In my life,
in your creative life, shall we say, because life, we could be here for hours.
So I've always been very creative, and as a child I was always dressing up in dresses and very expressive, and my parents were very supportive in my creativity. They're themselves. They're not like artists or anything. They're amazing people, but yeah, they didn't have the kind of opportunity that I have been given. So yeah, they supported me a lot, and I did a lot of acting as a kid and musical theatre, and then went more into ballet. Toxic world. But
tell
I learned
me about
a lot
it.
From it. Yeah. And then yeah, did like dancing, went to runway school. Always enjoyed the creative side of dance more than the physical thing. I think I found a lot of resistance to this idea of like me pushing my body as hard as it could go. And yeah, when I joined Rombert 2, it was very physically intensive, and I just didn't feel like it was the right place for me to be. Like, it was, I know I love the creative side of it, and I love humans who aren't just dancers, like the humanity that exists in all different kinds of bodies. So to be in this like very elitist space just wasn't something that felt that connected to me. I also have like a disabled brother, and yeah, so I love movement, but I think once I left Rombert and lockdown happened, I started to be curious about other things and started teaching a bit more and realizing that I had a bit of my own practice I wanted to develop. And yeah, sort of landed a bit more in the commercial world, which is fun because suddenly I was working with designers and music artists, and it felt so much richer for me personally to be able to bring dance into a non-dance-centered space. Was something I found a lot of joy in, and yeah, that kind of snowballed more into a bit of movement direction and now directing.
I watched a bit of your film with your brother, which is, you need to watch it, it's so nice.
Thank you.
It's so beautiful. Yeah, so more of the commercial world. I think a lot of people are, like, when you're training to be a contemporary dancer, it seems quite difficult to understand how you would flip into more commercial work. And also, I think there seems to be, it's a bit like the devil you know, like contemporary, I know what I need to be to fit a mold, whereas commercial feels like a completely different battle. I mean, how did you get into commercial? Was it sort of accidental, or was there like, okay, this is what I want to do, let's go this way? Are you with an agency? That jazz.
I've always really enjoyed making my own little videos. And I think that was the start of what has eventually led to me doing more directing. It's like, I really enjoy finding a track and entering my own world and creating these little bite-sized videos, which bodes well for Instagram, and Instagram is just the best gateway into getting seen in commercial context. So I think it happened accidentally because of that. And it wasn't something I was trying to do, but I think some of the right people sort of saw what I was doing online, and some opportunities came from that. And then the network just starts to build. So it's not something I was choosing to do, like, intentionally, but I'm glad it happened. That was kind of how. Oh, and with agents. So yeah, I have agent, but it's not like, Instagram is definitely my main way of getting work, and also just like word of mouth and recommendations.
That's exactly what Lewis said. I spoke to Lewis Walker, who was like, it's all Instagram. You know Lewis, right?
Lewis is like my best friend,
They're so nice. So sweet. Which I think a lot of people find daunting, because filming yourself, putting yourself on Instagram is also intimidating. But I think there is a way to make it creative and make it fun.
Yeah, it's like, I think if you see something that someone else is doing online, you're just not trying to replicate that or like do that. I don't know, I think if you're going into it with that intention, that's what's daunting. But like, if you were to make something for yourself and never post it, but just to make something, and also it's an act of like learning to be able to watch yourself on camera and actively choosing to love what you see and support yourself and cheerlead yourself, you know, it's so important. Because if you're going to be critical, then that energy is not, like, there's a sense, the commercial world loves people who believe in themselves, because you have to bring that to the job, you know. And I even if I'm not always believing in myself, it's important to project that for work, for business. It's like, if you want, you don't have to monetize your dancing, mm-hmm. if that's what you, you know, like, there's no pressure to do this, but if you want to monetize dancing in that way, then it's good to project that, I think.
Yeah. This is interesting. It's not something I was, like, going to go into too much, but just looking at the self-confident side, that's something, like, I personally really struggle with dance. Like, I feel like I'm good at kind of all right marketing myself and all that sort of thing, but actually watching videos of dancing, I'm like, I find it really difficult. Is that, do you feel like, I think also because I came from, like, the ballet, which gives you a certain set of beliefs about your body and what you should be doing. Is that something you deal with, or, like, how have you dealt with the sort of insecurity of being that out there and watching videos and being like, no, I love that, you know?
It's a constant practice of this kind of believing in yourself sounds like naff.
But I get what you mean.
I don't, it's honestly, it's a lot to do with what happens outside of the studio, you know, your own relationship to yourself in life, and I think therapy and understanding who you are and why you're here and why you're doing what you're doing. If you can find those values that are bigger than the insecurity, you know, you have to find something that takes over that fear.
Because often it's the insecurity is so silly.
Exactly.
Something like, my toe looks like wrong or something. Yeah. And you're like, that doesn't actually mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, whenever we express ourselves and put it online, even if we're insecure or don't see something, like, we're just sharing art, you know? Yeah. It can be a gift for people, you know? And if people don't want to watch it, they don't have to watch it. Like, no one cares as much as we do.
No one.
You know, like, no one, like, if you posted something, you would be the person that cares about it the most.
Yeah, and also, you know,
like, no one's really judging, I don't think, in the way that we perhaps perceive. But I'm also just, like, I think with Instagram, I have a bit of a fuck it mentality. Like, I don't want to get into my head too much. Like, if I want to post something, just post it. I can always take it down.
At the end of the day, it is just Instagram. Yeah. It's not, no one's going to get hurt. And also, it's interesting because I have never watched a video of someone dancing and thought, overall, no. You know, like, it's so much more nuanced than that, and so much, I feel like, naturally, you just see more beauty than you see when you post something of yourself.
Mm.
So just knowing that other people probably have that same perception as well. Mm. And if they don't, maybe they're not the right person.
Yeah.
You know? And then looking more at, like, movement direction, how you got into that, and then directing, obviously, now as well.
I think the movement direction thing started, well, again, because I was posting videos for myself, and some of the right people saw it. My first movement direction job was very surreal, actually. It was for Dua Lipa.
First one.
Yeah, I was...
starting strong.
I was 20, and it was... like, Daniel Sanwald, this incredible director, he followed me on Instagram. He needed someone last minute in London. He just messaged me, like, hey, can you just come and help with this? Because he saw that I was young, I was available, I was, you know, there was, like, I was projecting, you know, that thing. That, and I think it's all about what we project. So, yeah, that was, like, the first thing, and that obviously helped with a lot of other things. But I think, I don't know, I don't think we can plan and control our fate too much and what happens to us. I think it all really starts with our relationship to ourselves and, just posting what we love and what we feel we're inspired by, and just if the right people will like it. It's like that, we can't control that, you know?
Yeah, also, if you project what you want, what you love at the time, then it will be what you get back, you know? People see something that you're posting to act like someone else, you'll get offered things you don't really want.
Exactly.
Which isn't very beneficial. I was actually speaking to someone the other day who didn't, like, I spoke to a couple of you who didn't know what movement direction was. Do you want to give a quick snippet? We probably should have done that before, but we're here now.
So what my definition of movement direction is, you're sort of like a tether between the talent and the photographer. So often a photographer or director or filmmaker will have an idea about what they want to convey, and but they won't have the skill set to be able to communicate that. Mm-hmm. And so my job is to sort of dissect the photographer's vision,
mm-hmm.
and reword it and just inspire the model or the dancer, mm-hmm. To sort of make it feel like it's their own as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes can be like literally demonstrating a shape, or it can be like rewording an idea from a mm-hmm. director and sort of being like a cheerleader for the talent, you know, making them feel good and supporting them. And it's a weird job. Sometimes it's not necessary. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like doing movement direction. I'm like, I don't need to be here.
You've
like,
got
this talent's amazing. Yeah. Like the director's great. And sometimes it really is a job, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can picture Dua Lipa would be quite good to work with.
Yeah.
Easy to direct. Yeah. And then you spoke a bit about sort of your relationship to yourself and how that moves what you do. Do you prefer doing things that you're in control of, like this directing job, and prefer to do things that you have more creative direction on? Or do you also enjoy sort of, you know, being a body in space, that sort of thing? Like,
I think my process of directing is like extremely collaborative.
Yeah.
The reason I want to be a director is not because I want to control people, but because I want to
I want to be a dictator.
I want to dictate. No. Yeah. I really just want to, like with this project last week, for me it was a process of bringing together the right ingredients of people and just to inspire them to do the best that they could mm-hmm. do, so everyone felt like they had some autonomy on the work. And that is inspiring to me. Like, I think that's what a good director is. A good choreographer is someone who can inspire people and also help them feel like what they're doing belongs to them.
Yeah,
because for me, I'm not interested in like working as a body in space for people.
I think having agency over your own creativity is quite important. Like,
yeah, and it always, well, in my opinion, makes the best work.
Yeah, definitely makes the most, like, well, I guess also in my opinion, the most interesting personal work as well, which is, and art, I don't think, is meant to be like super detached. Mm. But again, that I guess is my opinion.
Yeah, and.
Yeah, so this work you made with your brother,
mm.
do you want to talk a bit about how that came around
in
the film?
I mean, what I'm beginning to realise is a lot of my work is autobiographical, mm-hmm. in a sense. So with my brother, like, he was born when I was 10 and he was, like, really ill. He was, like, in hospital for the first few years of his life, in and out. We had, like, nurses living in our house. And alongside this, I was, like, using dance and creativity as a escapism from this. So I sort of had these two worlds where, like, at home I would be caring for him, and then I'd use dance as a way to sort of escape. And I think this film, Brothers, was an attempt to bring those two worlds together that have, like, until then been very isolated from each other. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful. It was very unplanned film. Okay. Like, I was literally just taking my brother away for a little holiday. It was like our first trip away, and my friend Jen, who is just, she's an incredible filmmaker, but also is a sibling of someone with disabilities. I was like, why don't you just come and like document it? So she did, and it was very sort of informal. And then the week after, I had a performance that was sort of about my experience of processing my role as like a carer for my brother, and I was like, Jen, why don't you just bring the camera and record it? And again, that was how the film came to be. So it wasn't I wasn't trying to create the film Brothers that would end up on Nowness. I was just trying to be present in my life and bring the right collaborators in to document that. And yeah, it's I still feel very uncomfortable about the film in many ways, because it's like a personal, you know, I have this one desire to make work that's autobiographical, but then I also have this human and being exposed when you're not in the mood to be is, it's quite hard to have your heart on a plate in front of people. But again, I think of it as also an act of service for people who have similar lived experiences to me, and this film from a lot of the feedback I've got has been like therapeutic to people. Mm-hmm. So it's worth it. It's that thing. It's like, so a video on Instagram, you know, it's like, it could make me feel uncomfortable, but if it's helping people, and then Brothers is just a bigger expansion of that. Yeah. It's me exposing myself, surpassing that uncomfortability, and it actually meaning something to people.
Yeah, and I think it's a comfort zone that is safe to break out of when you're in control of it, and it's a piece that you've made. So it's, you know, you've had that agency, so then you can choose to feel like this is a boundary that I can work with and push a little bit and see what comes of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a very beautiful work, and it's beautiful to see as well. And also you can see watching that it's very personal to you. But again, that's what makes it so beautiful, you know? Because if it was like two actors, it probably wouldn't feel the same. But yeah, and then you are obviously very young, start of a beautiful career. What do you want next? What do you want to keep looking at? I guess you've got this film. Is it just like keep following what comes, or do you have any set sort of hopes and goals? Secretly you want to become a heart surgeon, perhaps?
Wow, what do I want?
It's such a big... If someone asked me this, I'd be like...
Yeah, but it's also the fear of actually naming it. I mean, I'm a big believer in manifestation.
Okay.
And that naming things and believing in things, like, they do come to fruition, which is exactly what happened this week.
Yeah.
Like, that was a dream that I had, and I named it, and I spoke to people, and I made it happen, and it happened, and it was beyond what I thought it could be.
It's also one of the hardest things to do, though, because I feel like when you have a goal and you say it to someone... It can be like, it's so exposing. Yeah. Like when I first wanted to start this podcast, I had actually only told my dad, my mum, my dad that I was doing it before putting the first episode out. No one else, because I was like, once you've said it, it feels very like intense. Mm. So I understand that it's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
But
it's amazing that you've done this though.
It's a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's also like, it's meaningful for people.
Yeah, I hope so. I do hope so. And it's meaningful to me, which I think is a beautiful thing. Like I feel like sometimes I think it's really selfish, because I think like I'm getting so much more out of it than maybe anyone else. I'm like, I'm loving it, but hopefully other people enjoy it too.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's a fun thing to do, and I think it's a nice thing to do.
But yeah, back to
back to your
let's think what do I want. I think I just want to keep working with people that inspire me.
Yeah.
And I want to live a meaningful life. I don't want to get caught up too much in the shininess of life, because I think actually the dirt of it and the painful things often create such beautiful flowers. And I think when I acknowledge those parts of my life and like make work as a sort of catharsis for those parts, that's what's going to bring like the deepest satisfaction. Like in Buddhism, they have this thing called the Dharma. And if you're living in your Dharma, it's like a combination of your skills, your passions, your purpose,
and service.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I think each of us have one. And I think, yeah, like what I want from my life is to just keep living in that space. And whatever that may be, that I might end up doing something completely different. And I'm not precious about that as well.
Yeah.
Like this film that I made this week might be the last film I ever make. You know, I'm not, I just want to keep staying inspired and looking after myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, what's the point?
And if Dua Lipa happens to be there, then so be it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, even with stuff like that, like, I don't, like, yeah, it's a cool story and whatever, but it's really, it wasn't a meaningful experience for me. Like, actually, that day of movement directing Dua Lipa wasn't, it looked shiny, but it was not a career highlight for me in terms of, like, how I, as, like, an emotional being, experienced that day. Like, it just felt like work. Whereas, like, being in a studio, like, teaching non-dancers and allowing, like, them their first experience of, like, what it is to move, that is deeply moving for me. And, like, I would rather have an experience, a life full of those kind of experiences.
As you should.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah, no, I think it's the exact same. And you're currently based between London and New York?
Yeah, so I'm in the process of, like, trying to get an artist visa.
Okay.
So that I can work there more. And I'm going back there in a couple months. And I'm very nomadic life. which I'm loving, but it's also very destabilizing.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because I want to move to London, but also I do want to travel for work. And then it's like also the idea of paying rent in London and traveling at the same time. I'm like,
yeah, I mean, what's good about London is it's very easy to sublet. So I think once you get a place, just keep it. And like when you go away, subletting.
There are always friends that need cheap accommodation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and nomadic life is beautiful, I guess, also very tiring. But again, if you're inspired, it's doable. Doable. Amazing. And I can see on this we've been talking for 27 minutes. So I think we should look at wrapping up soon. Final things. Where can people follow your work, support your work?
Well, sometimes I teach workshops in London and New York. And you can find out about them through Instagram and my website. Yeah. I think that's kind of it.
It's always Instagram and a website. I don't know why I ask, really. Like, people are going to be like, I have a letter by Pigeon you can sign up for. Like, it's always going to be Instagram.
I would love that.
I would love that too. Oh my God, new projects.
New projects.
You can hear more about Flow with Flow through a hawk with a letter in its mouth to your house every week with a little update. Beautiful. And anything, any last, where's your hat from, for instance?
Got this on sale, Charles Jeffrey. Love the ears. So makes me feel cute.
It's, you know, very
sometimes
cute.
You need to feel cute.
And when you're tired as well, you just want to feel a little bit cutesy.
And I all like, yeah, just I want to always feel like 5 year old Max.
Yeah, that's why I,
exactly. Play, like,
this is
skirt.
I love my tutu collection.
It's beautiful.
This isn't this is Silas's, whatever.
It's where basically you, where you're happy. Yeah, this I love this quote. Just wear what makes you happy, because no one else cares as much as you.
No one else. So especially in London.
Especially. Yeah.
Amazing. And that's kind of, that's everything. It goes so quickly every time. I say this at the end, it's always like, I feel like we could go on for like 3 more hours, but half an hour is my limit, because I used to go for hours and the editing took my soul out of my body and ruined me. It was exhausting.
That was very concise.
Yeah, it's a little bit of poetry. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming. I know you must be exhausted after your flight. And I really appreciate that you've put the time in. And beautiful. It's been amazing to speak to you.
You too.
It's lovely.
Thank you so much.
Yay. Bye, everybody. Bye.